Welcome to the Venus Index Podcast. Today we're going to be doing a coaching call for the contest and whoever's in it. And just to help you through this stage of the contest, it's been about 4 weeks. And right now I'm just noticing the forums. People are asking me various things over email. They're noticing things have changed since the first couple of weeks anyways. So this is the point where the initial momentum and the excitement of being in the contest might have faded a bit, and now it's just become a grind, I guess you could say, at this point. And now you have to try to learn to settle into some kind of pattern. Some people in the past have taken the contest in stages, where the first 4 weeks was a stage, and the middle 4 weeks is a second stage, and then there's the final stage. Some people experienced it kind of in halves. That just the first 6 weeks seemed to be a flow, and then the final 6 weeks was a flow. So it's normal for it to take on a life of its own and feel differently along the way. Stumbling and falling, having some backwards days, even feeling like you're going to give up and all that kind of stuff, it's all totally normal. Even the people who had our best transformations all experience this sort of thing. If you go back and listen to the old podcast, you'll find that out. So it's normal to stumble. It's normal to fall. It's normal to have all of these problems. Weight loss specifically isn't linear, so you just don't have every day, every week isn't going to be exactly the number of pounds you want to lose and the number of inches you want to lose. Even same with gaining strength and changing, you know, gaining muscle and changing the way your muscles look. That's not linear either. Some weeks it just seems to be better than others, and we don't have a good explanation why it just happens that way. So your physiology won't match your psychology, so to speak. Like, you feel like you put the same effort in every day, but what it looks like in the mirror and what it looks like in your measurements and on the scale won't be linear, but your thought process will be linear. So it plays tricks on you. So you have to learn to just deal with the fact that it's just not going to go exactly how you want it to go every day. But just as long as you're consistent, you're still heading in the right direction.
Sure. I mean, well, the other thing too is it's kind of boring from time to time, because the vast majority of people are following kind of a set plan they've laid out for themselves, which is great. But the problem is it kind of becomes a little monotonous, and you start thinking of, well, what can I add in to spice this up and things like that. And typically what I've seen in the past is it's at this point where the people start to try to add in different things, and it kind of works against them because they're starting to get away from what was working. It's kind of like when we were at the beach at Hatteras Island this past week. There was a guy that was that he washed up on the shore from kite surfing or whatever it was, and it was interesting because the guy was actually worked at this particular store, so he was like an expert in this. And so it seems to be that at the beginning, it's not where people make sense. It's where people make mistakes and kind of fall back. It's more when they start to get comfortable in their plan and start moving away and think they've quote unquote got it. And so if you're kind of stumbling a little bit, it might be time to kind of revisit and buckle back down, because you might be straying away without even knowing it, because it's entropy. It just naturally happens. You could be just moving away from what was working, but thinking you're doing kind of the same things.
Yeah. And that's a really good point. If as long as you're moving forward, you're doing good. It doesn't matter doing well, good. I don't know if that's grammatically bad or not. That's probably just as bad. Anyways, as long as you're moving forward, that's progress. It doesn't matter. It kind of doesn't matter how slow or fast it's happening, because again, if you listen to most of the previous interviews, almost everybody had significant chunks of the 12 weeks where they didn't make any progress at all. Quote progress, meaning measurements didn't change, performance in the gym, shape didn't change, weight didn't change. Like, some people had weeks where they just went flat out backwards. So if you can actually string 12 forward weeks together, you'll probably be the first one to do it. If you actually can do that, you'll be the first of our groups to ever do that.
Yeah.
So my point is, you don't have to be perfect. No one is. And even pros don't have a 16 or 12, 14, 12 week run that's perfect every week. So you don't try not to hold yourself to that standard and just get back on the horse every time you fall. So, and to your point, if things are moving along, don't really think you need to change them until they really have stagnated. And there's a difference between falling off the program and not making progress, or sticking to the literally sticking to the program and then progress stalls. So there's kind of two things there. So if you fell off and just know you're not doing what you set out to do, well, just get back on it. But if you've been on it and then it seems like it's your progress has slowed down, that's when you really do probably want to make some kind of a change. So there's a little difference there.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm going through kind of a similar process with, you know, obviously we got a new puppy, and it's been, you know, 5 years since I've had a dog. So it's been a relearning process of a lot of concepts and things like that. So I watch Dog Whisperer and read books and stuff like that. So I'm constantly looking at stuff, and there are things that happen that I'm like, oh man, I thought I had this handled. And then I have to go revisit things, and I'm like, oh, that's what it is. So it's consistent and constant revisiting of core concepts over and over and over and over and over again that make that difference. I mean, and that's not just in this regard. I mean, you don't just got it. I mean, it's even, you know, when I was training salespeople or anything like that. I mean, literally, unless people were seeing or talking to people all day long and had people in front of them all day long where they were sharpening their skills actually selling, I mean, people were role-playing, doing this, doing that. I mean, just continually, you're jumping it because these things fade off. You know, it's kind of like riding a bike. If you haven't ridden a bike in a while, you still know how to ride it, but you're not popping wheelies and jumping ramps or anything like that. I mean, it feels really strange. So just remember to, if you feel like you're not getting the progress you want, go back, re-listen to some of the podcasts, reread, the products. I mean, if you've got East IP, reread that. If you've got AGD, reread it. Same thing with the main manuals, Adonis and Venus. There's probably something there that is going to pop back out at you, and you're like, that's what it is. Here's the big thing about it. It's not, the big key is, it's not about reading and consuming 100 books or 100 podcasts or whatever. It's about finding the 10 or 5 that you can continually revisit. Which are the 10 best ones? Which are the 5 best ones? Which are the ones that represent what you're trying to do the best? And revisit those over and over again.
Yeah, because we can't really drill down to what your specific stumbling block might be. So for 10 different people, they might stumble on 10 different things. Mm-hmm. But we don't know which one that is. We hope we've covered it at somewhere along the line in all of our stuff. And so you got to kind of find the one thing you're stumbling on. And everyone stumbles for a different reason. It could be social support. It could be work stress. It could be I don't know. That's the point. We don't know. But everyone will stumble at some point for some reason. So you got to kind of isolate that reason and work on that.
Yeah.
Like there'll be one thing that you've got handled, and there'll be one other thing that's just keeps getting you, and that's the one thing you got to focus your attention on. And that thing might change throughout the contest too. Like these 12 weeks, it's not like your life's consistent all 12 weeks. Things will change in your life, which might make one concept easier or harder to handle as you move through it. So it's dynamic, and whatever got you through the first half or the first 4 weeks, it may get you through all the other remaining 8, or it might change. Whatever you have to do might change. Also, where you're at, as you move along, depending how close you are to your ideal numbers, you should expect your progress to take on a different sort of rate, or it feel different as you move closer to your ideal numbers. So at the beginning, if you have a lot of weight to lose, for example, that can come off easily with kind of a brute force sort of approach. But at the end, if you're getting close to your ideal numbers, you might have to accept a bit of a slower slower movement, and more of a calculated movement, so to speak. So you can't just take the sort of shotgun approach towards the end. So I guess it becomes more, as your measurements become more precise, so does your way of getting them.
Sure. Oh yeah. Let's not even say might. I mean, we know they do. Everything does slow down. I don't want people to think that, you know, they're the only person who it slows down for. I mean, my strength levels have slowed down. I mean, I'm eking out gains in strength now. I mean, as far as weight loss, I mean, when you drop down to, you know, around where your ideal waist is, in order to go further, it takes that much more effort and consistency and precision to make it happen. And that's just the way it is. So that's kind of another frustrating thing, is that it doesn't, once you kind of get it down at the very beginning, you kind of get your rhythm, it only slows down from there. You know, it speeds up until you get, I mean, it's like you get your rhythm, it goes fast, and then it just starts slowing down, you know, incrementally. I mean, it doesn't automatically just drop off, but it just kind of starts to slow down. And you sit there and you start to think that you're doing something wrong, when that's just the natural progression of things. That's just how it works.
It's just slow. I mean, and ironically, the process is still faster than however long it took you to get to your before shape.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
So however many months and years it took you to get to the point, to the day when you took your before picture, that was a way slower process than these 12 weeks are going to be to undo or change or progress, however much you're going to progress. I mean, it's not like just 3 months ago or 3 months before the contest you were in amazing shape, and then it took 3 months for you to get to the point where you're like, oh my God, I got to change. Like, it probably took years. And now you're going to try to undo a lot of that, or change a lot of that, or erase whatever the word is, in 12 weeks. So, like I said, any movement forward throughout these 12 weeks is big, and it's actually fast. Like, if you make measurable changes in 12 weeks, that's as slow as it feels on a moment to moment, a day to day, an hour to hour basis. After the 12 weeks is over, it'll be, whoa, man, that was a lot in 12 weeks. Like, that changed a lot.
Yeah, you have to focus on the process, the day by day process, and not the time that's going by. I think that's one of the big mistakes is, you know, if you're focused on the day by day process, and you wake up in the morning, and this isn't for everything, but obviously for something like this where every day counts, I mean, you really want to make sure that whatever you're planning on doing that day, you do just that day. You know, don't put it off, don't procrastinate, try to put together, you know, that perfect day for yourself. But and don't think about what's happening tomorrow. I mean, especially since you've got the physical programs in front of you, that's kind of the best thing about actually having the workout programs in front of you, is that you don't have to think about what you're doing tomorrow. All you got to do is, you know, print the sheet off, and that's what it is, and you're done. So there's no thinking about that. But if you can, you know, wake up and, you know, you've got your plan, you know, some people fast, you know, some people have a certain way of eating foods or whatever. I mean, but if you can piece that together and work on just that day, for a lot of people, that's just what it takes. And one more thing about straying away, a lot of people, myself included, I've done this before, you get on a good rhythm and you think you've got this thing handled, and then you start reintroducing a lot of the trigger foods that you have because you're like, oh, I got this, I can handle it, and you know, you drop in that peanut butter if that's a trigger food or whatever, and next thing you know, that whole thing's gone because the trigger is still there, you know. So that might be something to revisit as well. I mean, remember, this isn't it's not a willpower game. This is a state management process, if anything.
Yeah, you got to be, and this isn't maintenance either. This is like trying to make a change, right? That whole reintroducing those foods, that can happen later. Right now, it's
sure.
Right now, it's a bit more of a concerted effort, and it's a bit like you got to view it a bit like a. Like with a sports analogy, like a game where it's a bit of give and take. You're not just going to score a touchdown on every single drive. Like, you're going to, you know, some things you're going to try just aren't going to work that well, but that doesn't mean the game's over. You just get back on the field and try again.
Yeah.
So it's by the end, all you want to do is win in the end. Like, mm-hmm. At the end of the 12 weeks, you just want to have more positive days than negative. That's kind of, I mean, in the way I'm thinking in a sports analogy, that's just like having more points on the board than the other team. So it's not every single movement you make every day from the minute you wake up to the minute you go to bed is going to be perfect. You're going to eat something and think, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. But that's fine. It's totally not, everybody does that. It's just, you don't let those things spiral into days of doing that. Or you skip a workout, then you skip two, then you skip three, then it's been a week since you've worked out. Like, if you get sick or something happens at work, yeah, that's fine. But if you have no real good reason why, if you're just having a low energy day and you just can't work out, that's fine. But you just gotta be honest. Like, why are you not doing that? Like, is it, did you have a good reason for it, or is it just don't feel like it? So you gotta just be honest with yourself. why you're making the choices you're making, and then always remind yourself you have this 12-week pattern. That's all it is. You just have to make it to the end of the 12 weeks with more forward days than not.
Yeah, going back to the sports analogy, which is really interesting considering it's football season. But you know, if you think about it, the teams that win are always the most fundamentally sound, and they always make sure that they win. Like in football, you know, they win the trenches, right? That's the game. You win in the trenches, and you typically win the game. If you have good defense, you typically win the game. Good running game, typically win. Passing, not necessarily. But if you've got those three kind of fundamental things down, you're good to go. Same basketball, the team that focuses on hitting free throws and layups, they win. So that's the thing. But those are the easiest shots in basketball. And these are the things that seem to be the easiest overall. They're not – none of this stuff is glamorous for sure. I mean, the high-flying passing offense is glamorous, but having like a grind-them-out running game, not very glamorous at all. Same thing with defense. Having a smash mouth defense, not very glamorous, but it's not the glamorous things that win.
Yeah, that's totally right, and it's kind of ironic. By the end of this, you're going to have hopefully some kind of picture of yourself that the picture itself is quote glamorous,
sure,
or worthy of being on the cover of one of our products, or you know a contest winning picture, which is kind of, you could use the word glamorous, but the process to get to that picture is entirely unglamorous.
It's mundane. It's about the most mundane thing you could think of.
Exactly. This process is totally mundane. So if it feels that way, then you're totally right on track.
Sure.
Like if you're just feeling like, man, every day is just another one of these days, that's as not exciting as that sounds, that's exactly what it is. It doesn't mean you don't have, you know, enjoy the workout or feel good after a workout, but yeah, every time, this is just what it is. I mean, this isn't, if this was easy, everyone would do it, and everyone would be in amazing shape, and we wouldn't be here talking about it, and
it wouldn't matter.
Be trying. This wouldn't matter.
Yep.
And so it's, I don't know how else to say it. It is kind of mundane. It's doable, and if it feels mundane right now, it might just be that you're actually in the pattern, and don't let that scare you away. You shouldn't be searching for something that feels super exciting right now. So I guess you could say it's like every time you see a measurement change, that might feel exciting, but for that moment, if the rest of the day kind of felt less sort of fun, that's sort of, I don't know if we're painting a bad picture, but that's kind of, we're just trying to tell you that if that's what you're feeling, you're right on track.
Yeah, it's like let's bring back the sports analogy. Nobody celebrates after winning a game. I mean, they don't pop the Cristal and like start pouring everything in the locker rooms and like everything sprayed up after game one, you know. But that's what a lot of people end up doing if they have a successful week. They're like, oh, I deserve to celebrate and party and all this stuff. And like, no, man, you got 12 more of these things to string together. Once that 12th one's over, then you can do all that stuff. Then you can party it up and, you know, have the, you know, rain the wine and champagne and all that
stuff.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's when that celebration. When you win the Super Bowl, that's when you celebrate like that. Not when you win the first game of the season or the fourth game of the season. I mean, it's like, yeah. I mean, if you watch a lot of the coaches and stuff after they win, you know, game four, it's always like, you know what? It's just another game. We'll take the win, but we got, you know, 12 more weeks to go. We got to put a couple more of these together, and then we'll be successful.
Yep.
Right.
And so, as your coach, or as your coaches, we kind of have to remind you that it's not, no matter where you're at so far, it's not over yet. It's been 4 weeks, and no matter how good or bad these 4 weeks have gone, you still got 8 more. So, if it was good, great, try to ride that momentum. If it sucked, so what? You've got 8 more to go. So today's the first day of the next however many are left, and you can either stay on track or get back on track. So the champagne doesn't come out yet. And it's okay to like appreciate, obviously it's okay to appreciate where you've been, but you can't let up on the gas yet.
Yeah, most definitely not. And I think that's what a lot of people are running into. You know, those frustrations, and you know, then when those frustrations come about, you know, obviously from introducing, you know, other things or maybe stumbling a little bit, you know, people start doubting themselves, they start doubting their process, start doubting their plan. And the fact of the matter is that there's likely nothing wrong with any of this stuff, as long as you're going by, you know, the fundamentals we talk about all the time. So that's why it's important to go revisit stuff, go reread, all the stuff that we have out there, re-listen to a couple of things, keep your head on right. I mean, we talk about it's immersion a lot, and immersing yourself in this, it's especially important right now, because you've got to continually just get on and understand exactly what you're trying to do.
Yeah, it might be a weekly thing. You might need to set weekly, like a theme for the week. Who knows? If it's 84 days, maybe you need 84 reasons. Maybe every single day needs to be its own reason, and you need to sort of win that day in its own way. Whatever it is that keeps you moving forward. And if you're feeling good and you want to do, I know some people have mentioned like doing more, like that the base workouts might not feel like enough. You can try to add something new, and that's fine. Just be aware of trying to do too much. And also be aware that 12 weeks is, it's not over. It's not like your life ends after 12 weeks. You can continue to do more stuff and continue changing. It's not like all of it ends at 12 weeks and that's the body you'll have forever. This is partly a catalyst for the rest of your life too. So sure, you might, if you're in it to win it, you want to do as well as you can in the 12 weeks, but you can't have the feeling or the mindset that it's all over after 12 weeks. Like that's just the beginning of the rest of your life sort of thing. So, the idea is to be comfortable with getting as far as you can in 12 weeks, but also not beat yourself up if you don't get all the way to, I don't know, perfection, whatever it is. It's just basically take the 12 weeks and do the best you can in 12 weeks.
Yeah. Just put them together, again, revisit, all the time. I would, I find it, I'm not going to say ironic, but it's the pattern's there. I mean, participation in the forums, listening to podcasts, revisiting old material, asking those types of questions, those guys and girls win. I mean, that's there. I mean, it's literally, that's the pattern. And it's that type of accountability, that proactive accountability that makes the difference. And here's another thing I was thinking about the other day. And if you're listening right now, let's say it's just kind of maybe getting under your skin. You're like, that's not it. What I've found a lot of times when I'm giving constructive criticism to somebody, the people that take the most offense are the people that know they're doing something wrong. So think about that. So if you're on the job, right, and I come up to you and I say, hey, you really should be doing this, 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 and this, and you already know you should be doing this, 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 and this, but you're doing it another way or doing it some other how, that's generally the person that's going to take the most offense, the person that's they know they're doing wrong. But the person who has no idea they're doing wrong, they're like, if you're like, hey, can I give you some constructive criticism? And they're like, oh, yeah, sure. And they give it to you. Oh, thank you. That's great. That person never takes offense, it seems like to me. It's always the person that kind of knows what they're supposed to do, but they're not willing to do it. Is that's the person that's taking offense.
So, yeah, you gotta be open to it.
Sure. So just kind of think about that. I mean, that's not, accusations or anything, but just it's kind of a way to kind of check yourself. I do it from time to time. Somebody says something to me. I've had a couple instances over the last couple of weeks where I've been in both situations, and I noticed that. That's kind of where it came from. I was like, I'm kind of taking offense to this, and I was like, well, it's because I'm right. And it's like, damn it.
yeah, you kind of have to. You have to. It's a bit of introspection you have to do.
Yeah, sure.
So at this point, it's probably worth taking an inventory of what's working and what might not be working.
Yeah.
And like we said, be honest. Things that you're actually trying and aren't working that are on the program, and to do an inventory, recognize where you need to spend. So in that. What that allows you to do is recognize where you need to spend more energy and where you don't need to really spend any more energy. So if the workouts are fine, then just roll with them. But if you're having trouble getting to the gym, you need to find ways to coax yourself into getting to the gym.
Yeah.
If the diet is kind of right on track and you're kind of cruising through it, then that's fine. But if you're struggling with it, then make an inventory of the parts that are a problem and what you want to adjust. And try not to, I mean, the idea isn't to have a list of 20 things to change. It's going to be basic concepts, like one or two things that you want to change, and then try adding or changing or whatever it is for the next week or two to see if that's going to move you forward. It becomes overwhelming trying to change too many things at once. So if you can generalize the thing that seems to be the one thing you want to work on, then that's the one thing to work on. You don't try to do two or three things all at once, because that becomes overwhelming.
Sure. And one final point, I forgot to mention this earlier. You really, really, really have to quit comparing yourself to others and thinking that certain things aren't fair. You know, like I'll give you a perfect example. We can go to the store and buy a thing of brownies, right? And maybe some ice cream for dessert. And we'll make it. And Lo, she can have half a brownie and half an ice cream, and she's good to go. Me, that whole thing is gone. And it's there, and I'm on it like a rabid Tasmanian devil, right? It's like I can't help myself. And so, but it's, I know that. So if I'm in a process where I'm trying to shed something, I mean, it just can't be there. Now, and for her, that means that, you know, if she wants that kind of fix, then, you know, she's going out to lunch with friends and things like that. I mean, is it fair? No, but remember, we're all of us are a collection of faults and, you know, and pluses. So it's really superfluous to do that. I mean, somebody else is looking at you saying it's not fair that you can do this, and you're looking at them saying I can't do this. Just work to be the best you can be, and work within the cards that you're given. And I think you'll be happier with yourself.
Yeah, maximize the things you're good at, and then
yeah,
you got to spend attention on the things you're not good
at. Yeah, so. Laugh and have fun about the things that you're not so good at. You know, just kind of downplay them, just like I was doing. I mean, I know there are certain foods that if they're in the house, I mean, you would think I was going to eat my arm off by accident because they're there. So, but you know, we can have fun with that because I'm comfortable enough with myself to tell you that, hey, that's it, right? I know that. I can tell you that. Other people have different things. So you just take, like John said, take inventory on what's working, what's not. Take inventory on I like talking about taking situational inventory. Take inventory on situations where things didn't go as well as you thought they should have went. And maybe visualize a solution. Plan a solution. Be proactive about it. You know, most of the really bad emotions that you get out of life or because something has happened to you that you probably could have prevented with some proactivity. Proactivity equals good feelings. You know, reactivity equals bad feelings. It always seems to be that way. So reactivity, victim, proactivity, you know, hero, conqueror, whatever you want to call it.
Well, yeah. Yeah, basically what you're kind of after with this whole process. So, and as far as if you want to do a segment, you could actually now do like some notes on the first quarter of the process, which is basically what we're just coming to the end of, and decide what you want the next quarter to look like, unless you already had it divided in halves or however you had it divided. You could divide it down into weeks. I wouldn't divide it much smaller than a week. Trying to, like I said, you can come up with a daily theme, but I mean, that's fine. But my thought is, if you're going to change something, you got to put it in for a week or two at least to see if it's going to do something. And it seems like if you've hit a plateau, if weight loss is an issue or weight loss is what you're shooting for and you're getting leaner and you hit plateaus, it might be time to re-up your calories a little bit, come back up to maintenance for a few days. Not everyone can stay in a deficit every day. Even if you set your plan out to be in a deficit every day, it almost turns out that people just can't do it, and then they have, you know, and then they feel bad because they have days where they feel like they've cheated or crashed or something, when in reality they're just doing what was necessary. They had to come back up. So as you get, when you have a lot to go, you can be in long extended deficits. When I say a lot to go, when you have a lot of fat to lose, but the closer you get to your ideal numbers, a sustained deficit's just difficult. The rate of fat loss just slows down, and you just can't be in a deficit that long.
Sure.
So
I mean,
and that's a good thing if you're getting to that point. That's that's a good thing. It takes longer, but that just means you're that much closer. So that's something to pay attention to.
Yeah, I mean, don't get down on yourself. The fact of the matter is you don't know how to do it yet because you haven't done it. That's my point of view. If you haven't done something physically, then you don't know how to do it. Now, you may have read a book, but there's all these little idiosyncrasies that go in this in a process that may apply to you, may not apply to you, and you don't know it. So don't feel bad about it. I mean, all you're doing right now is running a bunch of tests. You're not making any mistakes because you don't know what's right or wrong most of the time for yourself. You're running all these tests and you're getting feedback. And so just pay attention to your feedback. I mean, that's the big thing. We run tests all the time, you know, just in our business. And I'll tell you, like, we're lucky if one out of every 10 is something significant. You know, I would say 5 to 6 out of every 10 are complete busts. Maybe 3 out of 10 are, you know, maybe just, nothing to scream home about. So, you know, it's just kind of get the mentality. I mean, even baseball players, I mean, if they have a hit, you know, 1, 3 out of 10 times, I mean, they're making millions of bucks. It's not like they have to hit a home run every time. So just think about that. Keep in mind that. And give yourself a little bit of a break as far as, you know, feeling down on yourself. Because in reality, you really don't know what works best for you because you haven't found that yet. You know?
And even if this is your second run through a contest, it's different because you're at a different body shape and size. So, like I said, the rates of how things change will be different. Your past experience will be something to ride off of, but this one will be a different thing. Each one of them will be different. Even seasoned competitors in fitness and bodybuilding, every single contest, they take a slightly different approach to it based on the knowledge from the last one, obviously, but it's they might be more confident. If you've been through it once already, you already know that you can stumble and get back on and it's not perfect and it's not linear. It's like, you know, you have really good weeks that just seem to flow really well. And then you have like chunky, rocky, bumpy weeks for some reason. So, if you've been through it once, you kind of know what to expect. If you haven't, that's what you need to expect, is that it's just going to be up and down and all over. Like I've said it a million times, it's just a controlled stumble forward. We're all just tripping and falling and bumping into things along the way, but everyone gets to the end. It's just how much progress you manage to make while you're stumbling to the end.
Yeah, even people with coaches. I mean, think about this. My buddy B up at the gym. I mean, he's you know, competing all the time. I mean, he's got a guy who's good. I mean, he's had tons of guys succeed, women succeed, and you know, they basically start out with a set kind of
a
set plan, right? Like a base plan. Kind of like what you get with our stuff. You get a base plan overall, somewhere to start, and then they just build and tweak off of that. I mean, whether it could be any number of things they're tweaking. It could be, you know, carbs. It could be, you know, is protein levels. It could be is water. It could be drugs. I mean, they're testing out different drugs that, you know, because some people respond differently to different things.
And then workout volumes change, cardio,
sure.
Put it in, take it out, timing, all that stuff, splitting the workouts.
He ends up with a plan that's unique to him, but started, you know, from a common point of what the guy knows works for everyone. But in order to really maximize the effectiveness of it all, there's just little bumps and tweaks that go along the way, and it's little. It's one thing at a time. You know, boop, 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 that they change. It seems like it's not like they're all of a sudden they just make 15 changes, because then you never know what actually what the thing that affected you the most. You don't know what actually did all the work. You could have had just one thing that you changed out of that 15 that really did everything, and the rest was just kind of like and you could have left all that out. So
yep.
So I guess that's the final thing. I keep saying it's the final thing. That's one more thing to think about, is that if you're kind of, you know, feeling that you've kind of hit a point, change one thing, you know, unless it's just obvious that you've just fallen off the wagon, right?
Yeah, then you got to get back on the program. So
right.
I guess we might as well wrap this one up. So for now, take a 4-week inventory of where you've gotten to, you know, point. Give yourself credit for getting this far and the progress you've made. Take an inventory of what worked, what didn't work, and then decide what you want to do moving forward as far as do you want to just, is everything working fine as far as you're concerned and you want to just keep rolling with it? That's fine. Or if there's something you want to add or subtract or change, make a note of it. Give yourself a timeline to implement that change and start that change today, and then give yourself a timeline to test it. So to me, it would be a week or two to put it in and see, oh, yeah, that really works. Like, maybe you want to move the time of day you eat dinner, or switch who you eat dinner with. Or I don't know. Who knows what it is? Maybe your workout is either taking too long, or you have time in a day to actually put in more time in the gym. Whatever it is, whatever the thing is you want to tweak, write it down today and then put it in – install it, and then decide after about a week, 10 days, 2 weeks, somewhere in that time frame, if you like the change.
Yeah.
And if it's sustainable. Like, let's say you decide you want to add in half an hour cardio every day, and then 3 days into it, it's killing you to do it. It's like, it sucks for your schedule. You hate being there. Maybe that's just not the right change. But whatever it is, you have to go based on what's been working and what you think needs to improve. And that would be your sort of, this is your quarter contest update, sort of, so to speak.
Yeah, and just revisit the fact that this is not an easy process. The key to it all is understanding that it's not an easy process, yet at the same time, making the decisions that give you the best possible chance of success based on that fact. You know, it's not like you're running down getting ready to get on the slide, and you're going to try to choose the best way to go down the slide. It's more like going up a big old mountain, and there's a bunch of different paths to get up that mountain. You just got to figure out which way is going to work best for you. You know, mm-hmm. if you're in a wheelchair, you're going to be wanting to go up the ramp. If you got one leg, you know, you're probably going to have a different story. If you have, you know, you don't have a strong upper body, you're probably not going to be able to climb. So there's a bunch of ways to get up that mountain. You just have to make the best decisions for yourself based on who you are and what your lifestyle constraints are. So just keep that in mind.
All right. I think that's good.
Cool.
So for Brad Howard, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Venus Index Podcast.